Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love, Deborah Voith, and Lenora Brightmoon, three out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each episode, they will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. And now, on with the show.
Well, hello everyone. We are here with a new co-hostess, Lenora Brightmoon, and we are going to be doing a wonderful show called The Craft versus Religious Worship. And at this point, I would like to just, say thank you, Lenora, for coming in and being part of our team. And if you want to say hello, I'd love you to say hello.
Hello, everyone. I am very happy to be here and very excited to have this conversation today.
Good, good. All right. Well, so we're going to just dive right in. I know that at this point, first of all, we're going to kind of go back with what, when we use the word the craft is actually a personalized way of saying witchcraft. And when you think of a craft, it's skill and experience as you carry out things that you want to do. And so when you consider that witchcraft is more of a magical practice, the art of, and the art or skill of spell casting and ritual work is what is in it, and of course encompasses a broad practice of beliefs, traditions, personal philosophies. So I kind of wanted to just bring in more of a definition at this point so that we could get an idea why we chose to use the word craft as opposed to witchcraft, because it's a very intimate way of talking about that part of the spiritual experience, which is why when I say spiritual, it has a component of spirituality in it. And we also have it signifying as the craft, it's basically knowledge, techniques, personal approach, as we use different magical workings. And Lenora, why don't you give me a few moments of just what you think the craft encompasses?
Okay. So the craft encompasses to me, like I'm new, so I'm a new witch studying. I've done a lot of other things. And so what I've been learning about the craft with my elder teacher is that the craft is different than my religious upbringing and different than the spiritual work I do, because it is actively participating on a daily basis. Not only the worship, which, switches, kind of pulls in the religion and the traditional stuff, but it also is a way to affect change. So affecting the craft to me is affecting, learning how to participate and affecting change in my environment. For myself, for the people I care about, it gives me something to do actively that allows positivity and change to happen for me, around me, and to the people I care about. So that's what craft means to me. It's a way of learning how to participate with the worship and the different things, but bringing in that added element of doing something to create change in my environment.
Exactly. See, this is, it's fun having someone who's starting and expanding, because a lot of times we get stuck in our experiences and go, oh, I've experienced that. And so we forget what it was like to start putting that into physical practice in our daily life. And I know that that's the other thing, ritual practice being more structured rituals and ceremonies that use magical practices by invoking specific actions, words, symbols to gain and invoke power or achieve a desired outcome, which is a fancy way of saying what you just said. So, and it's interesting because when I was doing research for this, it broke it down. So, you know, that's ritual practice. Then you have the actual spellcraft, which is specific techniques and methods used in crafting spells. And it involves understanding the elements of a spell, like intention, timing, tools, and basically the practitioner's mindset, our mindset. So I feel that makes it, first we use all these things, but then that last one is really important because the personal aspect becomes more where you draw your power, really and truly. So do you have, you know, I'm going to hand it off to you to kind of say something about that as well.
Okay. The craft is really interesting because to me, it helps me understand a way to ritualistically participate in creating change in my environment, but it focuses on building the cone of power when you're doing spells, doing things, and that's coming from you. And so what it's saying is you are the source of this. You are putting out there what you want, what you're changing, what you're creating. You're asking for help from gods and goddesses, mm-hmm. whatever your practice is, and they're helping you do it, but your power is in it. And so mm-hmm. you get recognized and you're learning how to be self-empowered. And religion has a way of sort of taking that power outside of yourself to me, and mm-hmm. the craft sort of puts it within yourself. And so I enjoy mm-hmm. learning the craft right now because it's really helping me step into my full power and understand who I am and what I can do and how I can positively help myself and others around me.
Good. And because, you know, there is also the aspect that a practitioner of the craft will choose a craft name. And that craft name is a magical identity. It used in rituals or spells to, you know, obviously represent our spiritual practice. And over the years, I've had many. I have permeated from one version to another. And I think that's, for me, that was a way of explaining my growth. So, you know, it started in one place and then I shifted. And as I gained more knowledge in different techniques, it suddenly came as another level. And so obviously there are many different names that I have gone by over the years, but then interesting enough, I kind of went back to my own birth name because there is great power in that from my ancestral line. And it was kind of a change because at the time being named after one of my ancestors, it was kind of tough. That wasn't the best, easiest name to have. So now I honor it. Of course, there's a lot of fun you can have with the different versions of Elvira. But at this point, I think that was something that I wanted to share because even at a time when you want to go into a magical name, it does create that cloak, the mantle, the power mantle that you put on. So, and for me, that was, you know, the growth aspect. So I understand. So when you chose to become involved with the year and the day tradition and you started working, how did you feel about, you know, where your power emanated from?
Well, it was really interesting because learning about the craft, my teacher had been watching me for like 5 years and just kind of approached me towards the end of that fifth year and was like, yeah, you might want to look into this. And of course, I had no idea. I was just being me. Like, I didn't know there was any kind of labels or any kind of following for anything that I was doing. I was just doing it intuitively. Mm-hmm. And so learning, stepping into that year in a day, I was really nervous and scared because like I haven't been in school in a long time. And it's not like just study this book and repeat it. Like it's an active, well, my teacher is really good. And so he's an active, like as we're doing our daily you know, just hanging out or this or that. There's just a way to bring magic into just about anything, into a discussion and understanding through daily life. And so I went from being really nervous and thinking it was going to be like a class to understanding that this, there is so much within myself that I didn't realize was there. And I had put it on a shelf and put it away because no one around me really understood or validated it or wanted to bring it out. So I used it in a different way for my understanding and pursuit of spiritualism and coming into the healing perspective and stuff like that. But moving into the craft and being able to do it and realize how much power was within myself, it's been like very awe, like almost awe-inspiring and very, I don't know, very humbling actually for me. And I really like it. Because it really taught me the difference between ego and confidence. And you don't have to be egotistical, but you can be confident and not be egotistical. And so the craft kind of teaches you that.
True.
It's okay to step into your self power. So that's what I'm learning. Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. And see that perspective and learning that what you are and who you are is part of the process really of working in the craft. And that kind of makes it even people who join in, you know, solitaire or who are like yourself, you know, learning and being taught the traditional things that you're being taught. Each of us has our own stamp. Each of us has our own energy pattern. And that will bring a private growth, a private part of what you do with that experience and how you practice it. And as I have learned, which kind of is interesting, I'm more of a hedge witch because I tend to go with a very eclectic point of connections of energy and practices and things. I think that is what the individuation in the craft represents. And yes, you can be very structured, but that may work for a lot of people and is very valid and very enhancing. But then there are those that kind of find they want to add all these different things. And I think you got that as well.
I did. And that was one of the biggest things that turned me into it is that I was told I didn't have to give up or stop anything else I was already connected to. And that there was a way to weave and blend that with the new things I'm learning here and not to give it up, but to find a way for the things I already know to empower me to do this too. And it was awesome.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And, you know, another part of the craft and the magical aspect is magic and art. I know that, you know, a lot of us have gone through making our own magical tools, and not necessarily some of us can be, you know, very talented in metalwork or woodworking. But we all know that basically a wand is a stick, you know, how you use that stick or what you put on that or embody with it is a completely different thing. But then art is another part of that. And when I was looking at this, I was going, well, for a while, and actually, you know, you've seen some of them, I was really into mask making. And it was not necessarily a mask that you put on your face, but it was an art piece that was a mask and embodied magical principles, power, and elements. And I think that when we do the craft, that's part of the other definition of craft is skill and working with things that we may find that we want to follow something, that we want to be able to craft our tools or things that we use, you know, headpieces and all kinds of different things. And I think that is part of making it personal and, you know, finding what you do, because even, you know, I was taught a long time ago, if you're in the middle of nowhere and you don't have your wand and you don't have your athame and you don't have anything, you can find it. And it's as simple as, you know, as I said, a stick. But realistically, when we're sitting in a more civilized environment, and we, because that tends to separate us a lot of times being civilized and having, you know, to be in jobs or be with certain family situations or whatever, we are in a little, we are more structured and more separated. So if we find things that we can connect with that bigger picture and making something, crafting something, doing a spell as a craft, you know, words, I think that brings more empowerment to your practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, another part of when I look at how do you define the craft? What is the craft? What is witchcraft? It's got things that people have made into with philosophies and beautiful words and techniques. And then there is what you personally, you can really get into that. I mean, I obviously had a theatrical background. So all the pomp and circumstance was what really got me all excited when I started learning the craft. And the cloaks and the thises and the thats. And that was great. And it was fun when it became like we just had the summer solstice. So that became a big thing. But, and this is, I guess, telling my age, as I got older, I didn't necessarily put that totally aside, but I began to realize that there are things that you work and walk in the world, and that may be when you need to use that power, that craft, your abilities the most is without all of the stuff. And sometimes it's when you see someone or you do something that you don't necessarily infringe on their energy pattern, but you offer help in a way that is part of it. And I think that's taking our personal practice once we've gotten comfortable with it and grown into certain parts of it and putting it back out in the world. And I know that just having been around you a fair amount of time now, I've watched you do that with the people that come around you. So I also see that.
Yes, I really enjoy doing, because when we care about someone, and something's going on or something's off balance, something's out of, you know, character, or there's a threat or whatever it is that's happening, we want to do something to help. And I feel like the craft is a way of learning what you can do for others and yourself both. That when things go awry or things are threatening or things are unknown, it gives you a sense of power and control. It reminds you, you know, how powerful you are and how much you can help others understand that too, but also support them with the craft.
Yeah. And it's, I look at how you define, you know, I've got different things that talk about, you know, definitions and things, but it really presents us with whatever we do and however we do this in the world is the reflection of our ability to interact with our craft in the world as much as it is to become in a power of circle and do the work in a very structured way. So I predict that we will wind up next that we're going to go into more the religious practice and paganism and see how that with the craft connect, because as Deb and I talked last show about the differences and the connections, I wanted to take it and kind of drill down more with our talk on some of the things that we are discussing now, as well as when we get into the other half of the show, so that we can talk about that. But for what I see here, it's kind of like, as a craft, it can be inherent, learned, or bestowed. And I think actually, rather than say one individual, I believe that we have inherent powers we are, you know, we learn, and then traditional training is helping put structure, which is what you're going through right now in terms of learning that. And I don't think of it as it's necessary. I mean, but, you know, the old saying is when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And sometimes they may be there and you just weren't thinking about it at that way. And then suddenly, ta-da, there they are. But I look at what people try to put together and learn. And eventually, even with our technology, doing it through the computer, Zoom, and the different things that people can do, it's good. And I feel it's valid, but I guess I'm really kind of old school. And I think that learning some of the things that you do learn when you're training in whatever technique needs to be in person, because there's a certain connection.
Yes, I agree. I would not understand any, well, not any, I wouldn't understand the depth behind a lot of this if I didn't have an in-person teacher. And yeah. I understand that very much now because of the conversations and the face-to-face experiences we have. One of my favorite things is learning how to call the moon, for example, just other things like that. But things you do and learn, it's just, there's just, you lose so much when all you did was read it. There is so much more to the connection and understanding. And of course, where two or more are gathered, there's power too. So you have power, and then you're doing it with someone who's not only guiding, but also helping. And it's absolutely amazing what you can learn from someone.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think for listening, and it's fun for me because, as I said, having conversations with you on and off show, it's about realizing you also are learning and how that affects what you do in the world and how it affects your interactions, as well as just, I get excited because when I hear you tell me about something or get excited about something, it reminds me of that enthusiasm that sometimes, because we've been doing it for so long, kind of gets set back in a corner a bit. And you kind of go, oh, that is what I remember. Or it sparks something that renews that energy renews it in me, but it renews it in the person that is the elder or the teacher or someone that is on the other side. But, and is there anything that you would like to add about the craft? I know that we have, you know, about 6 more minutes before we break, so I didn't want to be just the only one talking.
Well, it's been an interesting and fun experience to learn. And I have Galactic, which is more what I identify with, which there isn't a whole lot on that in general. It's because specifically where I've been up till now and then how I'm weaving it into what I already do. And the time and space concept and like being able to step in and do the craft and sometimes without even all the fancy stuff and just being having enough energy to really just step in and go done. Like, I don't know how to explain that to anybody who doesn't understand, but when you start practicing, you learn with all the tools, but then you don't always have them available.
Right.
And so you just got to do with what you have, which is why over time things have changed, you know, about which herbs or what we're using. I mean, maybe that didn't grow at the time or whatever it was. So it's really like what you assign to things. And that's been an interesting experience to learn that there isn't just one box that you have to fit in. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm being guided by Gardnerian, but I'm not Gardnerian, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us who started back years and years and years ago, as I will just leave it, there is structure that we fit into or that we try to find a way to learn, mostly because we weren't necessarily totally into that tradition, but it was something that gave us enough structure that we could feel, learn, and understand. And then who and what we are and be were becoming took on its own way of being. And I mean, the beginning, I loved the Golden Dawn. I loved all of the ritual and all of the words and, you know, the things that were structured and everything. And then suddenly my Sagittarian personality took over and I galloped off on another level. But I think that's when you feel better about what you've learned and you start on your journey, your quest. And good teachers, I mean, one of my teachers I was with for a long time, and then she said, "You must go now." And I was hysterical. I mean, I was crying because I was being kicked out of the nest and the door. And, you know, that was just awful. And, but it didn't stay that way. I mean, it was the feeling, but it meant that it was time for me to graduate to something else. And it wasn't, you know, I still stayed friends with her and connected, but it was a very interesting experience when you start your process and then as you grow. And that is why I like the craft, because you're always learning, you know. The craft is just that. You can craft, you can become an expert, but at a certain point you want to go more. You open more and you learn more. And it's not about inherently having some kind of ego trip about, I know all this stuff. It's more that you realize there's still another road to travel. There's still another bridge to cross. And then there are times when you just go, no, I think I'll sit down and just enjoy. So at this point, I think we have our time. So I will say our standard thing, Nagashiva, break us away to commercial.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time. Crystal Silence League Hour, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune-telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
Oh, I can't tell you how much. Every time I hear my I dream of Jeannie, how it takes me, you know, into the idea of spells, witches, and witchcraft. So we're back with Lenora Brightmoon and myself, Elvira, and we will be talking now about religious worship in the area of paganism as the focus. So as we discussed last show, of course, paganism is the religious aspect of what we do, not the craft as craft, and that's part of it. It can be. But there are other traditions. There's Wicca and other that embrace the actual use of witchcraft as a connection with nature and the elements of life, and also forces of healing and protection. So it's one of those that, when I say paganism, It's a spiritual system of beliefs and practices centered around divine and supernatural energies. And we focus on that belief in worship of these particular powers in a way that involves also natural ceremonies and ritual ceremonies and moral codes. And the community becomes shared with both the beliefs and common aspects of rituals and practices. So I think at this point, I would like to ask how you started coming from your background and where your path led you to a more pagan point of reference.
Okay. So I started with traditional religion, just like everybody, well, a large majority of people. And my parents got divorced. And so it was interesting because it's easy. Religion is kind of the religious box and the traditional concepts. They present very specific, you know, ideas, backgrounds and guidance and books and what's accepted, what's not accepted, all those things. And so what happened was when my parents got divorced, that came up against some of the church's teachings. And so I didn't believe that they had done anything wrong. And I didn't really understand why it was such a taboo to get divorced, to, you know, take care of yourself, to do what you need to do. Anyway, fast forward, and my mom got remarried. We ended up looking church hopping and finding another church that was much more spiritual. So I went from traditional box religion to a spiritual church, learning about, you know, Ernest Holmes and all of that. And so that was sort of, you know, the power is within you, you know, say positive statements. The power of your words is very important. What you say and what you think creates your reality, you know, take self-responsibility. If you don't like something, change, you know, change it. So really putting the power back on you. So that's where I started to learn that. And then I got into healing work. So Reiki, quantum touch, Jin Shinjutsu, all that kind of stuff. And so that really helped me understand how to be there for others in doing something, like I was saying before. And then going through that, kind of, I really had a connection with angels. So the angel part was something that is still with me today. So there's pieces that I take from all those experiences and I leave the rest and I just, you know, say I'm grateful for this and I like it. And so this is what I'm going to encompass. So the angels were a huge part of that for me and they stayed with me and that continues to be something I do. I also now do other things as I'm learning about gods and goddesses and deities and all of these things. So now I'm putting into this perspective that the religious box I started with was put your prayers out and see if you get blessed, you know, do these things, put your energy outside. So to me, that was giving away a part of you and asking to receive back blessings for what you're giving. When I got into the spiritual and religious spiritual side of things, it was the powers within you. And then the craft is taking that to another level, saying the powers within you and you can affect change. You can step into positivity. You can do these things because you are like a microcosm of the God and goddess. Mm-hmm. So you have all of this and you're asking them as you stand there and you're doing your craft, you're saying, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm putting my energy. This is what is happening and what I'm affecting change for. Please help me if you would also lend your energy or, you know, help, you know, whichever God, goddess, deity that you're talking to. But I stand here doing it. I am doing it. And I'm asking you to come in and assist me with it, which is hugely mm-hmm. different than where I started in the religious concept.
Right. Right. Well, that, and that again, you know, it puts it into, there's a spiritual connection and a framework for understanding the world and your place in it, but also, and how that path can help you fulfill things, but with the craft, it gives you that intimate part of interaction that you are also in the process of doing this. And it's an empowerment. And as much as, you know, a spiritual practice in a more religious base has a certain amount of empowerment, I think this is, you know, it's like first one half, then the other half. So you have the masculine, you have the feminine, you put the two together, and that's a holistic point of reference, whether it's in energy or humans or whatever. And I'm not saying either one should be defined as the masculine or the feminine, but it's a way to visualize what that represents so you can go ahead and feel more whole in what you're doing, as opposed to, you know, I mean, we all ask, you know, the hardest thing is to ask for help most of the time, because we're trained to be individuals, to be our own person, to go out in the world and do whatever it is we're going to do. And I know that when my last husband passed, it was a real hard experience for me to learn to ask for help, because of where I was in my own growth period of you know, empowerment and life and all. But it began to, you know, make the saying, you know, your strengths are your weaknesses and your weaknesses are your strengths. And I always thought that was an interesting sentence, because when you realize that you can ask for help and you do, how much more, because you're acting from a state of power and empowerment, not that you're trying to power over somebody, but you're willing to say, even though I have my power, I'm also part of community and I need my community. I want my community. So I think that finding that connection and then going the next step is really good. So I was happy when you told me this is what you were going to do, because I've gotten to know you since I moved here to Arkansas, and you know, it's really nice and I love it, and I'm going, ah, you know, so excited. So that being said, obviously one of the other things is I found this statement, which was, it kind of made it interesting. A religio-magical practice is the belief in the divine part of the craft, which involves connecting and relating to the divine in certain ways, work with sympathetic magic, use something representing something else, or performing an act by mimicking that. And that is, you know, when we look at ritual and we participate in that ritual, we're not just sitting watching somebody else do the ritual, but when we do that in connection, that's when I feel we engage with the idea of empowerment. And you know, the there's so much to discuss about paganism as a religion, but it really has such a broad base. So what are your thoughts on paganism?
So if I understand correctly, you know, paganism is a country dweller. You know, yes. it was basically a title that was handed yep. to us. And so I feel like paganism is, you know, I agree with what you guys were talking about on the last show, where paganism is around the Sabbats and around the traditional, you know, growing seasons and different things. It was in flow with nature, mm-hmm. and the midwives and life and death and the whole process of how do we support our community and guide everyone to have a good experience on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so using yeah. the craft to practice that, but the paganism is the worship and the understanding of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. And it's interesting because obviously the historical aspect is it's considered pagans are rural or rustic people that live out in the land. And, you know, when they were doing that, of course, that was, you know, the Roman Empire. And then it kind of moved, because we also, there was a lot of practice of polytheism and, you know, that aspect. And as Christianity took in, it's other than a single deity. And I feel that that encompasses many. It can encompass the angels. It can encompass the, you know, different aspects because it is part of everything. And so whether we see them as deities or spirits, I think that that makes it a broader and inclusive point of reference. And of course, then we go to, you know, what becomes neo-pagan, because, you know, how many people have gone forth and have the lineage of unbroken paganism because we had to go underground at certain times due to circumstances in the world. And so the movement was to basically take the indigenous traditions and contemporary movement and put them together. So you kind of come up with a reinvention, but not getting rid of everything because you don't have things to fill in the blanks that are there. So I believe that, you know, like a lot of people that come in and start to see where what they learned and where they came from in a more structured Christian or Judaic or Islamic or traditional structure, and then moving it beyond that to these other aspects, I think becomes a way of growth, and people feel out of the box. They can become out of the box instead of in the box. And I also think that, you know, one of the things that I find is, you know, does a pagan believe in the afterlife? Because, of course, a lot of the structured religions have a heaven, you know, and a hell. And, I mean, we do have them. I mean, traditionally, if you look at certain ones, I mean, you have Valhalla in the Norse tradition. You have the Summerland. You have Tirnagog. And, you know, in terms of that, so there are the places for the higher vibration. And yes, there is also, you know, H-E-L, which is hell, for Valhalla is the opposite. So I think that depending on culturally and what you seem to feel drawn to is how you create a more individual pagan experience. And of course the question is, do you know, pagans, of course there's believing in reincarnation. That's it's fairly common, not all, again, individual. So I think realizing that it still becomes individual. I mean, there's a structure, but I think paganism allows for more fluidity.
Yes, I agree with that. And I also, when I was studying about this, you know, religion and paganism was very oriented, inclusive with women. Not exclusive, mm-hmm. but inclusive with women and empowerment and equalization and having, you know, wise women and, you know, all of these things. And then when religion came in, there was this sort of shift from the female to the masculine side. And so mm-hmm. they wanted masculine power. They wanted, you know, power over women. And so I feel like sometimes what was going on there too was they were afraid of the power that women have. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. they came in and they wanted a way to stop that. Mm-hmm. And so women were made into saints because there's masculine and feminine saints and different things like that and included into the church. But there wasn't, you know, Mother Mary and different things like that from the tradition I grew up with, you know, mm-hmm. and Saint Teresa and all of this. So there were saints, but they weren't. They were always humble. There was a way they wanted women to be, and they used this to sort of say, this is what we want. But, you know, in my tradition, it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so that Trinity right there, a lot of people believe that the Holy Ghost was more the feminine side, if any, was there. But there was mm-hmm. a lot of masculine going on. And so it was very interesting to see that try to sort of, and I think the pendulum is swinging sort of back the other direction now. So I'm glad to see mm-hmm. that. But mm-hmm. it is very interesting mm-hmm. to see how religion and the craft sort of played in, because the craft was open to all, but women were equal. And the religion, mm-hmm. A lot of the traditions for different religions can sometimes sort of almost stop the women empowerment side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yes, because they were working on more of a singular aspect being patriarchal than the way that, and I, again, we both know that matriarchal is an honoring and a part of that, but when you get one side being more powerful, you're going to flip it over to the other side wanting to get power because they felt unempowered or disempowered. And right now, this particular process with paganism has been able to bring a more balanced way of dealing with that process. And I think that, to me, is a template for what is out there and what is happening. Is it's a good template. You know, people kind of go, you know, how do they greet? You know, again, different things like, instead of saying amen, we in pagan say so mote it be. A lot of times, you know, the saying hello is merry meet. And then, you know, and merry part being the goodbye. It's kind of interesting because those are terms that when you learn the ritual point of reference of the religious side, paganism, and you have structure, but those are, you think about it. That's interesting. You know, the words that people talk about, and, you know, obviously in paganism, yes, there is marriage. It's called hand fasting, and yet it can become legal, and that would mean that in its own way, it becomes part of the societal structure of, you know, it, because being married in our society requires it being legal through the through the process of filing papers and doing these things. But in the pagan tradition, it's, you know, basically that's called a year and a day. I mean, it's almost like you spend a year and a day deciding if you really like the person, rather than, you know, making it, this is it forever and ever. I think that shows fluidity in terms of, you know, structure and things of that nature. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it does too. And that's mm-hmm. that year and a day for the studies on top of mm-hmm. also the year and a day for hand fasting, same thing. If mm-hmm. it's not for you at the end of the year, then it's okay to say, it's not really for me. You know, because it does test you every day to look at what is happening and does it work. We mm-hmm. don't know if we mm-hmm. don't try.
Well, that's it.
Most religions say you're stuck with what your choice was and that you can't change it. There's right. certain ones, like the one I grew up with, that was frowning on that. It's you made your bed, now lie in it, I think is the concept. And that is not healthy. it keeps you stuck and it is not healthy. So I feel like the craft has a lot, paganism has a lot to do with, you know, being able to change and be in the moment. But the craft will not work if you're not putting yourself into it, because it's you that's doing it. Exactly. So how well and successful you are is based on what it is you decide you're doing for you, and what you put into it, you get out of it. Mm-hmm. So that year and a day, whether it be at marriage or study or whatever, is a wonderful time to see if that is what you really want. Mm-hmm. Because it is your time and your energy, and that is where you're going to go. So
Right. Good. Well, and that's, I mean, we've talked, you know, I brought up a lot of things about in paganism, what are the things that define it as paganism? And we have, you know, these things that people think about in religion that's structured, and they have things, but it's also that year and a day allows you to truly try it out. It's like, you know, when we go into a new job and they say, well, probation is, you know, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. It's the one thing that we keep forgetting, well, not all of us, but is that, yeah, they're looking at us to see if we're going to do good and we're going to be the right fit and all that. And it makes them feel, you know, it's like their power. And it's, there is something of the other side. We're looking at them to see if it fits us, if it may be that we need the job, so we'll accept some of the stuff, but then maybe we'll look for something that has a better fit. And that's the same idea of, you know, what a year and a day represents, is checking it out, seeing if it's where you feel the process is enhancing, or if there is something that you feel uncomfortable with. And it also means you can ask questions. That's the other part of, you know, paganism. You can ask questions and you can, you know, I don't want to say challenge, but you can find things that maybe, why is this the case? Or how do I, you know, if I'm feeling this way, what is it that can I work with to help me balance it? Or, you know, that kind of thing. So you're able to engage in a co-creative way with the process because of the reasoning is that this is, it has ebb and flow, give and take, whether it's with the divine energies of a spirit, or it's with the people you're trying, you know, you're working with, or it's the teacher you're working with. So I free will, I guess, is the thing I hear.
Yeah, and I think I like learning the craft better than I liked learning the religion, because when I was in religion, I was also in the school. So I was in the school of the religion that we were a part of. And so there was a constant, you know, class. There was even religious class, okay? Ooh, so, yeah. There, you know, but the difference is when I was in class and I would ask these challenging questions and try to have these discussions, I was told, because the Bible says so, because this is how it is, because it's always been that way. There wasn't, to me, I would argue, and the priest did not like me because they were like, uh-oh, here she comes. And I'd be like, okay, so but that's a cop-out. So what's the real answer? And there, I never got answers. With studying for the year and a day, I get a chance every day to reach out and ask questions, have full discussions, you know, watch movies, read books, and also have discussions about, you know, his studies and what he learned. And that's what he's teaching me now. So mm-hmm. It's amazing to be able to have open discussions and not be shut down and told, well, that's just because that's what the book says. That's right. Such a cop out. You know, you want to have a soul growth discussion.
Right. Right. So, well, this has been really, you know, we have a few more minutes and then I have to do what we call cleanup and announce for the next show. But I really like the idea that the perspective you are bringing to the show is one of someone coming in and experiencing their growth, their process of the traditions of paganism and witchcraft and all the things that are in that category, to say the least. And I know that I guess in a way, one of the things that I found interesting, because I found a little piece of this, and that'll probably be the end of, you know, before I ask you your final words. One of the things we have had in the pagan traditions is it isn't part of necessarily the religion of paganism, but the lifestyle is that women could be warriors. They were warriors, and of course we've heard about the Amazons, but then if you think about the Nordic tradition, you have the warrioresses that fought alongside the warriors and were of equal standing in that part of the process, as much as it was in the Celtic traditions. And I have found it interesting because it isn't about denying a woman or a female her ability to defend that which she believes or needs to, her community. And, you know, it's always about the process of masculine energies, but the feminine energy can be very, very intense. So do you have any final words you would like to say before we start our closing of our show?
Just that I really enjoy learning so much about the different things that come into play, the interests I have and how well they fit into the craft while I'm learning about it, but also the religious crossovers that do happen, not just from the paganism religion, but the traditional religions I grew up in. I don't hate them. I mm-hmm. picked pieces that work and then, you know, leave the rest because that's what I do. But there is something about, you know, there's a crossover with worship, understanding, you know, and receiving and being blessed and all of that kind of stuff, because we do blessings in the craft too. So you mm-hmm. can do a blessing. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible to learn. So I'm really glad I get to come on and maybe bring that fresh perspective of at being at the beginning this lifetime.
True. Well, we definitely have covered a lot of ground. And at this point, we are cleanup. So to be able to connect with Lenora Brightmoon, you can go to www.lenorabrightmoon.com, or you can find her on Facebook. For finding me, you can go to www.readersandrootworkers.org, www.hoodoopsychics.com, and elviralove@gmail.com. And my website is www.elvira.com. So, and we can also go at www.milk-and-honey.com. And is there anything you want to add?
Just that I do have lenorabrightmoon@gmail.com.
Okay.
So if you'd like
all right.
to email, you can do that.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. Trying to get all the new stuff that needs to be in our closing is kind of awe-inspiring when I'm looking at the page going, oh my goodness. So we do want to obviously announce next show will be Blessings, Curses, and Spells, The Power of Words. And it will be with my co-hostess, Deb Voice, and myself. And we want to thank our cauldron, Nagashiva, for working very hard at keeping us on track and keeping us organized. And at this time, I will tell Nagashiva, take us away.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs on Thursdays and is available for download. Plus, we're uploading them weekly as YouTube videos. Questions or comments on this show, or ideas for upcoming shows, can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.